We talked about birth order, and now we're going to talk about some variables in two presentations, part one, part two. And these variables need to be taken into consideration, but even the variables are conversations that bring you insights. So let's talk about the variables of birth order. Here are some of them. The variables for birth order include spacing, the number of years between children in your family or in your family that you were born into, the sex of each child, and in what sequence male and female are born, physical, mental, or emotional differences. Yes, even genes are important. Sibling death, which if occurring early caused the child to bump up to the next part of the birth order. They also include things like adoptions, which may or may not have an effect on birth order depending on how old the child is when adopted. The birth order position of each parent, because, for example, firstborn parents usually run a much different and tighter ship than lastborns. The relationship between parents, the parenting style they use as they pass on the personal values to their children, these are all variables in birth order. The variables may also include whether or not one of the parents has a critical eye, because constant criticism takes its toll. The blending of two families due to divorce or death, because, for example, in a step family, certain birth orders often get stepped on. So variables are common, but some people act and appear very different from their original birth order. And even when children seem to fit the typical descriptions of their original birth order, that's first, second, or whatever, they can exhibit characteristics of other birth orders. That's where the variables come in. They can cause a child born in one birth position to function, at least in part, with characteristics of another birth position. And often the reason why is a very interesting conversation. So let's talk about some of these variables. Let's first of all talk about spacing. An obvious and crucial birth order variable in any family is spacing, when each child arrives. Whenever you think of spacing, you should include the phenomenon called dethronement of the firstborn, which happens the minute the little brother or sister comes into the world. Until that moment, the firstborn has been number one, the apple of everyone's eye. Suddenly, there is another little apple on the branch, and it's smaller, cuter, and new to the family tree. The firstborn is no longer the only one who's special, and he may suffer some serious self-esteem problems if his parents don't make sure they let him know that he is still loved very, very much. Many parents try to have children 2 years apart. Actually, Dr. Lindman believes three is ideal. But the best laid plans often go away. Gaps of 5 or 6 years more in the spacing of children can create another family. I can say, since the other variables may come into play, for example, with the 5-year gap between me and my older brother, I could have started a second family and become a functional firstborn. But other things intervened. To show you how a second family can occur, let's look at the example below. And then what he talks about is several examples of that, and I'm not going to get into that. If you want to buy this book, the Birth Order book, you can read deeply into all of these examples, and I highly recommend the Birth Order book. Anyway, the gender variable is another variable. Another time, the secondborn is the same sex as the firstborn, there often is friction. So anytime the secondborn is the same sex as the firstborn, there's often friction that creates a variable. When sex differences create someone special, it can pressure the child immediately above or below that special person. So again, these are variables to keep in mind. Role reversals is another variable. A role reversal is when two children do something of a flip-flop. And there are reasons and conversations on why these role reversals happened that, as a pastor, a Christian leader, counselor, chaplain, sometimes those are interesting. So if you see a firstborn acting just like a lastborn and the second child acting just like a firstborn, that's a conversation worth getting into. And there's probably something very interesting. Maybe some insights will occur for bringing health to this family if needed. Multiple births. Another important variable in birth order is multiple births, which have been happening more often in recent years, especially with the advancement of science. The usual multiple birth that we've seen down through the years is, of course, twins. And twins are always special. Twins are usually very aware of who is the firstborn. One of them will let you know that he is older, even if it's by as little as 1 minute. So that's another multiple variable that can come in understanding birth order. Gift child factor. The true is same with kids and families. If you have kids in higher position in the family who do very well, the next in line might think, hey, what's the use of even trying? I can't measure up to what's being accomplished. And I've seen this as a pastor over the years. I've seen where you have a very gifted firstborn, and then that secondborn gets so frustrated, they become very rebellious. And they sort of can't live up to the firstborn's shoes. I've also seen that the secondborn tries to keep up. And in keeping up, there's great stress in that secondborn's life because they're trying to keep up, and ultimately they get more and more in despair and they don't love who God made them, that their point of reference in their whole childhood is keeping up with that other child. Deaths are another variable. Suppose a family has two sons and a daughter. At age 4, the older boy dies of spinal meningitis, leaving behind his 2-year-old brother and 6-month-old sister. The 2-year-old takes over the firstborn role and grows up that way, whilst little sister, who was actually born a baby of the family, grows up as a firstborn girl. So deaths have a factor in family life, and you will find that as a Christian leader, things can change after the death of a child. Here's another one. Second, suppose the oldest child in the family dies at the age of 12 in an automobile accident. His 10-year-old brother assumes the firstborn role and is suddenly given firstborn assignments and responsibilities. But is he really a firstborn? No. For 10 years, he grew up as a secondborn, content not to challenge his older brother for supremacy in the family. Now he is getting a lot of pressure that he really doesn't want and has no idea how to cope with because he has no experience in that area. Another point that needs to be said here, too, is you become more confident and experienced in the role you are in your family. And if all of a sudden something changes, that can bring stress. Dr. Kevin Lehman talks about a variable when it comes to adoption. I also advise parents not to adopt a child who is older than any biological children they already have at home. That's interesting. The adopted intruder may have a negative effect on the child directly beneath him or her. For example, suppose a couple has a 3-year-old child and decides to adopt a child who is 5. What happens? Their 3-year-old has been knocked off his only child mountaintop, or firstborn mountaintop for that matter, and now has to contend with someone bigger and smarter. Always remember the principle which applies in this case. Generally speaking, we are affected and influenced the most by whoever is directly above us in the family. When an older adopted child comes into the family, he or she is bound to collide with the biological child directly below his age. So if you're helping a family and they're thinking about adoption, here would be nice a little principle just to share. Hey, you know, I've heard Dr. Kevin Lehman say that when you adopt someone lower in the birth order than your oldest child. You know, these variables come, and there are many more variables. And as we keep talking about variables, you will see that even the variables are conversations which help you in ministry.